At the two dots in Testament Beis, the Gemara pivots, as Rashi points out, from one long shakel v'tariya that's ultimately about our Mishnah, and then comes off of a diak in our Mishnah, and kashas in the Tirutzim, and then goes back to talk about our Mishnah some more. That shakel v'tariya, very rich shakel v'tariya, brought us to the two dots most of the way down Tes Amud Beis. And Rashi tells us, on the very first Dibur Maskil of Rashi, on this piece of Gemara, Teisha Tziburin, before Rashi even begins to discuss the content of the Gemara, he makes a comment about what to expect. He says, Piskei Halachos Hein. He's not translating Teisha Tziburin. He's not saying that the nine Tziburin are nine Piskei Halacha. As a matter of fact, I believe it's eight Piskei Halacha. He's telling you that for the balance of the Sugya, from this point on, moving forward to Daf Yudam and Alf, to Daf Yudam and Beis, the Gemara is going to now talk, now that the Mishnah opened up for us, and the Gemara highlighted that, the world of Taurus HaSfekus in the context of Bidikas Hametz. We already had a chance to think about Rov and two different types of Rov and Chazaka. So now the Gemara is going to give a series of memories of the Amoraim, independent Piskei Halachos, different Piskei Din, different situations, different permutations of Suffolk in the world of Bedikas Hametz. We already saw one of them, or perhaps even more than one of them. We had highlighted one of them, and that was the third one near the top of Yudam and Aleph. We saw that the Gemara had discussed that Tziburecha Shel Chametz Lefan Mishnei Batim Bedukin. There's one pile of chametz in the. The mouse comes by and carries the chametz into one of two houses. We're not sure into which one the mouse carried it. So the Gemara said, "Oh, the answer is that neither house requires bedika. Both are bechezkas badak." And the Gemara, you remember, had mentioned that's where we had seen for the first time the Mishnah of Shnei Shevilim. So that was the third of the Piskei Halachos. So we got a chance to jump into that in advance. We went up to someone else, and now we can go on our Seder. And in each of these Piskei Halachos is going to sort of add another dimension to our understanding of the world of Taurus HaSfekus. The world of, we began talking about the other week, how does Halacha deal with doubt? How does Halacha deal with a lack of knowledge? And it's just worth considering, we're going to come back to this in Reim HaDavid and the Raavad, it's just worth considering, it's fascinating and a little bit meta to think about Taurus HaSfekus in particular in the context of the first Perek of Pesachim. There are a number of places where Taurus HaSfekus comes up. We're about to see this brisa of the Teisha Chanuyos, and the Mesor Shashas tells you. It appears here in Pesachim, and in Ksuvus, and in Chulin, and in Nida, which are four of the Mesechtas that have the most discussion about Taurus HaSfekus. Taurus HaSfekus doesn't really have an address anywhere because it's not about any one topic. It could apply to all sorts of topics. But these are four of the Mesechtas where you have the most in terms of Taurus HaSfekus, beginning of Ksuvus, Chulin, B'giv Nida, and here in Pesachim, it's worth considering that Pesachim in particular, the first Perek of Pesachim is about what? The beginning of the first Perek of Pesachim is about B'dikas Chametz. Normally, we talk about, there's a din of Kashrus, so let's say in Chulin, right? There's the Isser of Basar and Avela, there's a Chi of Shchita, and then you can have a Suffolk about that. Basar Shinah Salam and Ayin. Here, even the context, it's not just Taurus HaSfekus applied to some other context. The context itself is Suffolk. Bedikas Chametz is the concept of Bedikas Chametz. It's all about Suffolk. So this whole beginning of Pesachim, to a certain extent, is about dealing with Suffolk. But now we're really digging into and we have been since the beginning of Daftes. It came up earlier also when we talk about Bedika and different levels of Rov. Really digging into the world of Taurus HaSfekus, and let's see how it plays itself out. As we're going to see again, at least eight different Piskei Halachos will provide a lot of rich opportunities to add dimensions to our limud of Taurus HaSfekus. Let's take a look. So let's begin to work on the first one. Teisha Tziburin Shel Matzvecha Shel Chametz. The Jew has ten piles of hamotzi, 10 piles of mezonos, but none of those piles are kashal of Pesach. Nine are matzah, and one of them is chametz. And then what happens as he takes on a cookie? So he had nine kashal Pesach cookies, maybe they're gebraks, but the Pesach the Kukuk does not converse in Shakal. Okay? You have nine kosher pays of matzah meal cookies, and one cookie that's really chametz. And then asa achbar v'shakal, and then a mouse comes along and takes it. Some of the chaver asked this morning, how come up until now we're talking about the chulda, now we're talking about the achbar? I'm not sure. My Baal Batish suggestion is that it could be, I have to know the Matthias, it could be that rats, the chuldas, were common in Eretz Yisrael at the time, but not in Bavel. So the Mishnah is talking about chulda. It could be that the Amoron, they didn't have the chuldas not so common. They spoke about achbar. Just as when we learn Bava Kama, you learn about Shar Shanagach, and the Psukim talk about an ox goring. The Mishnah is talking about an ox goring. The Gemara talks about ox goring. And then in Shir, we'll start talking about, well, what happens if a dog bites, etc. Why the dog? The answer is because in the time of Tanakh and Chazal, oxen were common because they lived in a farming society. We don't. We don't have a lot of oxen roaming around, but we do have a lot of dogs roaming around. That's right. So it could be the same thing here. Tanam spoke about a chulda. Maybe that's why the Amoram switched to talk about achbar. I'm not sure. But it be that as it may. So what's the scenario? An animal comes, the shakal, and takes one of them. I'm not sure what did the mouse walk off with? Did the mouse walk off with one of the matzah meal cookies, one of the kosher Pesach cookies, or did he walk off with the one chametz cookie? So that's the shaila. So you would have thought. What would you have thought? What would you have thought? Rove, right? So rove is kosher Pesach. The rove tells you that the one he has is a kashal pesach. The Gemara says not so fast. Yes, but not so fast. Hainu teisha chanuyos. That's the case of the nine stores. But pirish, if they got spread out, if one of the cookies fell away from the rest, and then asa achber v'shakal, and then the mouse comes and takes, hainu seifa. That's the end. The end of what? Rashi is the end of the brace of teisha chanuyos. What's this? Oh, that's the sanya. They tell you on the side and stars of Shas that the disnan is a mistake. It's not a mishnah, but it is a brisa that appears again, as we said before, in four different masechtas. Ksubis, chulin, nida, and right here in Pesachim. Teishachan. This is a famous case of teishachan. Teishachan is kul mochem b'sar v'shchuta. V'yachas mocheres b'sar nevela. You have 10 butcher shops in town. None of them are kosher, one is tereif. In the middle of the Hamish neighborhood, loads of kosher butcher shops, and there's Yankel's butcher shop, and there's Barrow's butcher shop, and there's Zundel's butcher shop, and there's Chris's butcher shop. You have nine kosher Hamish butcher shops, and there's one that sells Basar Nevela, one that sells non-kosher meat. So V'lokach achas mehem, and a fellow comes along and takes bought meat at one of them. The Eni Odem is mehem lokach. Now he doesn't remember which butcher shop was he shopping. So one of the guys pointed there to Seder. If you had receipts, so then there wouldn't be a suffer. And you could look in your pocket and see where you're shopping. If you had swiped your credit card, and you got an email from Stripe, or you got an email from Foursquare, or you could check your statement, or you could check online, look at AmericansBreast.com. Again, if you can mivar the suffix, so then there's no shot. Just like if there's a label, if there's a mark on it, okay. If you can mivar the suffix, that's not our case. Our case is where it's not clear. And presumably, let me add, you might say, well, what's not clear? You're a firm Jew, you always go shopping the kosher butcher shops. What's the shaila? So presumably, at least the easiest way to think about it is nowadays, you know, we buy pre-made cat food, pre-made dog food. Back in the old days, if you owned animals, so you would, as a carnivorous animal, you would go buy meat. So you're not going to buy kosher meat for your cat. Why? There's no reason to give the cat kosher meat. For the cat, you buy treif meat. So now that says, sometimes I buy kosher meat, sometimes I buy treif meat. Maybe I buy kosher meat more often. Okay, maybe not. But I do both. And I was sort of, I was distracted. Many of us have been distracted lately. Distracted for a sad reason or for a happy reason, whatever it is. But I was distracted and I was sort of running on autopilot. And now, say, once I remember, I must have gone to the store to buy this, but I don't really remember going to the store. So I'm not sure, I was distracted. I don't know which store I went into. That's what the case sounds like. So if I went shopping at one of the stores and now I don't remember, it was such a busy day, was this from the kosher store, from the treifa store? Enyo de meizmen lokach. So you should have said what? What we should have said, there are nine kosher stores and one treifa store. You should have said rov, which would mean you're not sure kosher. But the Brisa says, sveiko aser. In that case, aser. Interesting. We ignore Ro. But then, it's important to read this. And I know some guys had trouble during Seder. Uvenimsa. That word is a separate case. That's the Seifa. If it's Nimsa, Rashi explains, and the Rashi Nida I sent you the Marmar Komos, where this Brisa shows up, also explains it even at great length. Uvenimsa, if it was found, in other words, if rather than you went shopping, you found the meat. Rashi says, imagine you found a package of meat on the floor, out in the street somewhere, not in any shop. So I don't know, maybe it came from this store, that store. I don't know where it came from. Halacha haro. So then you follow ro. If it's lokach, so the two cases are lokach and nimsa. So if it's the case of lokach, you went shopping, so then you don't follow ro. If it's nimsa, if the case is that you found the meat, then you do follow ro. Now, at first glance, that's very hard to understand. Now, again, the Gemara had said, remember, that we're quoting this price up, because we see as a parallel is either the mouse walked, if the mouse walked off with the cookie, we're not sure if it's kosher Pesach or not, that's the same as I went shopping in the store, I don't know whether I went to the kosher store or straight for store. That's the resha. That's where you say, rove doesn't help you. The seifa, come on in, the seifa, is the nimsa case, is the same as pirish, where the cookies got spread around. So right now this seems like a big mystery. Number one, we're not sure, how do those two cases of the mouse necessarily correspond to the two cases of the shopping meat? That's sort of the second question. The core question, of course, is, well, what's the difference between lokach and nimsa? It's the same exact robe. The statistics are the same. The statistics are the same. If anything, the statistics are more nota lahakil in the case of lokach. Because lokach, you could say, how often do I go to this trefah store? A religious Jew, if there are non-kosher stores and one trefah store, it probably means, loosely speaking, 90% of the population in town eats kosher and 10% doesn't. Okay. So if you find a piece of meat on the ground, you would have said, okay, you know, I don't know who bought it initially. Who bought it and dropped it? So, and even that, and that is mutter. Okay, 9 to 1 is a pretty strong rule. You would have thought that lokach should be even stronger. I know who bought it. It was me. It was a religious Jew. I'm a Shabbat Har Mitzvah. So I would think that makes it even less likely that it was from the trefah store. And yet, the case of Nimsa, we're Mako, we follow Rove. The case of Lokach, for some reason, we ignore the Rove. It's at least a 9 to 1 Rove. Again, it might be more than 9 to 1 Rove, because how often do I go into the trefah store? With all the cats I have, how often am I going to the trefah store already? It probably is something that's somewhat memorable. And yet, in the case of Lokach, I went to the store myself, somehow we ignore the Rove. So we're going to begin to explore next time. This is the world of Kavua, which you already began to see the Chavrusa, where Rashi opens it up here. And again, this is the famous Brice of Kavua, the Teisha Chanuyos, that the even though these two cases have basically the same numbers, there's more to Rove than just numbers. As Rashi tells us, the Gemara has a drasha, gzeres hakasav, that sometimes Rove doesn't work because it's Kavua. Because the items are fixed in place. Why that should matter is a good question. And how you determine that is a good question. I mean, like, stores are built into the ground. While cookies, a row of cookies on the ground, that's not kavua in the same way. So obviously it doesn't have to do with, this is not like about mechubar l'karka. Kavua is a more of a conceptual idea. We have to figure what it is. There's a custom, when something's called kavua, when things are fixed in place, whatever that means, we'll have to explore that. And some of that's an exception to the usual rule of row. That's why the first of the Teisha Chanuyos cases, Sveiko Oster, if you went shopping, just briefly, if I went shopping at the store, it was a suffix of stores. I don't know which store I went into, as opposed to the meat. Then it's sort of a suffix on the meat, even though the mice of the meat came from one of the stores. This is going to require a little more work. But we're getting at, we're diving into the world of Taruvus, and we're diving in at the deep end of the pool. Simen Kuf Yud is near the end of Hilchos Taruvus Shulchan Aruch, and is, you know, some of the most profound parts. So we will continue this journey into the world of Taruvus, Kavu and Taruvus in particular, the world of Taruvus and Sveikus in general, which is going forward.